Vave. This is the history of paleo, ancient paleo, and the name of Yahweh in paleo in Hebrew, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. His name is represented by the Creator's hand, by man praising the Creator, his lodgepole, and man praising the Creator. Again, and these letters represent Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, pronounced Yahovah, or Yahweh. And all over the world, there might be different pronunciations, but it's still spelled the same, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And we go to the scriptures in the book of Luke, chapter 11, for the key of knowledge. And we're going to concentrate on the name of Yahweh at first. Luke 11:52, Messiah speaking about the key of knowledge. Woe unto you, lawyers! You have taken away the key of knowledge. You have entered not in yourselves, and them that are entering in you hindered. Speaking to the lawyers. And then he spoke in Jeremiah 8:8. You say, we are wise, and the law of Yahweh is with us. Lo, certainly in vain, though, made he it, they say. The pen of the scribe is in vain, they say. Jeremiah 12:16, which we'll review throughout the program. It shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, Yahweh liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, the Lord, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is the name of his son, Yahusha. Acts 5:28 says, the council said, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in the name of Yahusha? At Acts 5:29, the next verse, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey Yahweh rather than man. Also, see Hosea 2:17, we'll be coming to that in Hosea. The history of his name, written by Marisha Truman of Toledo, Ohio. While his name is from eternity, its history is traced from Genesis chapter 2 at creation, which says, in the day that Yahweh created the earth and the heavens. The King James translator substituted the capital L-O-R-D in all 7,000 instances for Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Tetragrammaton. The translator substituted L-O-R-D. The Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh were four consonant letters called the Tetragrammaton, which archaeologists discovered and translated some years ago. The Hebrew language did not and does not contain vowel letters, only vowel sounds as they read and speak. And then the Greeks developed the first alphabet with vowel letters by changing the four consonant letters of Yahweh's name into vowels of I-E, U-E. Now the Hellenized scholars claim that the consonant letters of Yahweh's name are both vowels and consonants, but not in the same alphabet, not in Hebrew and nor in Greek. They are consonants in Hebrew and they are vowels in Greek. Can you not discern how sly and clever Satan, Ha-Satan, is with his double talk? You can be sure satanic scholarship planned it all to destroy the name of Yahweh and his word by confusing his name in the religious, educational, governmental systems of the world, prophesied by Daniel chapter 2, 39. It is further claimed that the Greek vowel letters made it possible at last to pronounce the Hebrew name of Yahweh. Beware of Greeks bearing gifts. But it was claimed that the Greek vowel letters made it possible at last to pronounce the Hebrew name. Their vowel letters have given many different spellings, which alters the name of Yahweh. Whereas Yahweh told us that there is only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, in Acts 5. There is meaning in names. Yahweh's name means I am. He alone has eternal life to give. There is salvation in no other name. All the Greek alphabet did was to make the pagan name of the Persian sun god Iu pronounceable to the whole world, or Iesus, pronounceable to the whole world. And then 500 years ago, they added the J. The reason the translators gave for changing Yahweh Hebrew sounds into capital letters of L-O-R-D was that Yahweh and Yehu were not pronounceable and that the sacred name had become forgotten and lost. But Yahweh commands us not to add to or remove from his word, or he will remove our name from his book of life. And so there is judgment at the very least. But if his word is proven to be unprovable, then his word is no better than that of any good-for-nothing dumb idol. So why waste the time with it? Just what Satan would have us conclude. The reason his name has been forgotten has been recorded. He removed it from the lips of all who have chosen to worship Baal to this day. 1 Kings 16:31. 1 Kings 16:31, under the history of writing Paleo and the name of Yahweh. The history of his name. So 1 Kings 16:31-33. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And you see there in 1 Kings 16, this, the subject is Ahab. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke Yahweh Elohim of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. That was 1 Kings 16. Then chapter 18 in 1 Kings. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long will you halt between two opinions? If Yahweh be Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. 1 Kings 12, then going back to chapter 12 now, in verse 28. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy Elohim, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other one he put in Dan. And this thing of Jeroboam became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month. So this is 1 month after the commanded feast of Sukkot. So he ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So he did in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Then we have Judges chapter 8 and 9, then over to 2 Kings 10. And we're going to be going through quite a number of scriptures here, quite a lot of interest here. Very interesting that these things were done not that many grandfathers ago, not that far at all in our past. In the book of Judges, chapter 8, verse 33 and 4, it says, and it is written, and it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a whoring after Balaam, and made Baal Berith their Elohim. And the children of Israel remembered not Yahweh their Elohim, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. And as they came out of Egypt, they forgot all of that. You know, each year at Passover, we remember the travelings of the children of Israel through the Red Sea and throughout the land, and leaving the bondage of Pharaoh and, of all Egypt. So Judges chapter 9, verse 4 now, Abimelech, it is written, and they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. And then now back to Kings, but this time 2 Kings chapter 10. So here we go now in verse 16, when he brought him up into the chariot. He said, "Come with me and see my zeal for Yahweh." So they made him ride in his chariot. When he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria, till he had destroyed him, according to the saying of Yahweh, which he spake to Elijah. And Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, "Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants and priests. Let none be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do at Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live." But Jehu did it in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. And Jehu said, "Proclaim a solemn feast for Baal." And they proclaimed it. And Jehu sent through all Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left that came not. And they came into the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was full from one end to another. And he said unto him that was over the vestry, "Bring forth vestments for all the worshippers of Baal." And he brought them forth vestments. And Jehu went, and Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, into the house of Baal, and said unto the worshippers of Baal, "Search and look, that there be here with you none of the servants of Yahweh, but the worshippers of Baal only." And when they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings, Jehu appointed 70 men without, and said, "If any of the men whom I have brought into your hands escape, he that letteth him go, his life shall be for the life of him." And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard and to the captains, "Go in and slay them, let none come forth." And they smote them with the edge of the sword, and the guard and the captains cast them out, and went to the city of the house of Baal. And they brought forth the images out of the house of Baal, and burned them. And they brake down the image of Baal, and brake down the house of Baal, and made it a draft house unto this day. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. And that is a reading of Scripture from the Word of Yahweh in 2 Kings chapter 10. That's history, but it also points to those in our country who are still worshiping Baal, unknowingly perhaps. But that would be a warning to all of us. That would be a real wake-up call out of the book of Kings there for you. Once again, that was 2 Kings chapter 10. And then in Joshua, or Yasha, chapter 24, we keep reading here about the same theme of coming out of worshiping Elohim and to only serve Yahweh, only to praise and worship Yahweh, and to call him by his proper name. And then we'll get back to more paleo studies. Yasha 24, verse 15. And the prophet said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve Yahweh, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the Elohim which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the Elohim of the Amorites in whose land you dwell in. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh." And the people answered and said, "Elohim forbid that we should forsake Yahweh to serve other Elohim." from Joshua 24, now to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7. Excuse me, Jeremiah chapter 8, yeah, that's correct, 8 verse 7 through 9. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of Yahweh. How do you say, we are wise, and the Torah of Yahweh is with us? Lo, certainly in vain he made it, they say. The pen of the scribes is in vain, they say. The wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of Yahweh, and what wisdom is in them? That was Jeremiah chapter 8. Now, let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 13. 13 verse 4. And Abiah stood up upon Mount Zemaraim, and he said, Hear me, thou Jeroboam, and all Israel. Ought you not to know that Yahweh Elohim of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant assault? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and has rebelled against his mighty one, Yahweh. And there are gathered unto him vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of Yahweh in the hand of the sons of David, and you be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves, which Jeroboam made you for Elohim. Have you not cast out the priests of Yahweh, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands, so that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same may be a priest of them that are no Elohim. But as for us, Yahweh our Elohim, we have not forsaken him, and the priests which minister unto Yahweh are the sons of Aaron. And the Levites wait upon their business, and they burn unto Yahweh every morning and every evening. Actually, starting every evening, burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. The showbread also set they in order upon the pure table, and the candlestick of gold with the lamps thereof, to burn every evening, for we keep the charge of Yahweh our Elohim. But you have forsaken him. But you have forsaken him. And behold, Elohim is himself is with us for our captain, and his priests with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight you not against Yahweh Elohim of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. That was from 2 Chronicles chapter 13. We are to walk circumspectly and very cautious, and deal on the side of caution rather than on the side of carelessness when we consider who, what, where, when and how we are to worship Yahweh. Yes, all according to his word. And I've been reading from the King James Version, just changing mainly where they put L-O-R-D. I've restored it back to its proper rendition of from Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh to the pronunciation of Yahweh or Yahovah. And I would prefer to be reading from the Tree of Life Version for the most part. But we're reading King James today, and I'm not going to put that down. We just need to make a few to restore the proper words that were in there. And there's actually only a few. Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 14 through 17 now. As I was reading about Yahweh's name, how it was changed and altered, and also somewhat about the paleo origin, the historicity of paleo. So, Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 14. Thus saith Yahweh against all my evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Wake up, Trump. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land, and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass, after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them, and will bring them again, every man to his heritage, and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, Yahweh liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith Yahweh. That was reading from Jeremiah chapter 12. Now let's go to chapter 23 for this verse 23:13. 23. I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Or Yisrael to err. Then in 26 through 28, he asks, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Verse 28, the prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? You might want to read that again to yourself. Pause the program, the iPod, the program here at Jeremiah 23:13. I could repeat it for you, but I think there's a deeper meaning for that. Then finally in Hosea chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, that goes along with the study and kind of finishes up that section about Yahweh's name and about substituting Baal and L-O-R-D, even Adonai, which is actually in Scripture, but not in all the instances, not in all those places. That's one problem there with the Tree of Life, that they do substitute Adonai in, I think it's in every case, instead of Yahweh, they put in Adonai. But that would be the only mistake that I know of with the Tree of Life. Sadly, most of those are out of print already. Okay, here we go. Sorry about the rabbit trail. Hosea 2:16, and about Yahweh's name. It shall be at that day, saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. Yes, from now on we will call Yahweh our husband, is what that means. And then verse 19, and I will betroth thee unto me forever, yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. Praise Yahweh. He is delivering us from the snare of the fowler, from the pit. And those of us who have been taught before by the world, we'll have to unlearn that, because we need to learn Yahweh's word as a child. We need to start with a open mind, not with a blank mind, but do away with all the tradition that you've learned there from other sources, religiosity, and from universities and seminaries. So we come to Yahweh as a little child with an uncluttered mind that seeks to learn from his word, being teachable, Deuteronomy 30:13. You don't have to go to the universities to prove his word. The professors will only qualify you to minister in one of the many religious denominations, but they will all, well, some of them will disqualify you to minister in the congregation of Yahweh, even though they might give you a state license. And, pass the test their way, answer their questions. But we need to qualify in Yahweh's eyes by saying and speaking his words and understanding it fully in the context of all the other scriptures about any particular doctrine. From cover to cover, word for word, verbatim, we read Yahweh's word. It is the bread of life, and we're not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. And where two or three are gathered in Yahweh's name, there I am in their midst. Matthew 18:20. Those were Messiah's words. Where two or three are gathered together in what? In the name of Baal? No, in Yahweh's name. The Hellenized scholars of this world only go back to the ancient Paleo. So here we are again on the study of Paleo. the Phoenician Hebrew alphabet. The Hellenized scholars of this world only go back to the ancient Paleo-Phoenician Hebrew alphabet to prove the name of Israel's mighty one, the Lord, and they have forgotten and refused to remember the most ancient Paleo-Hebrew picture letter alphabet that Moses wrote the first five books of the scripture with 200 years before Phoenicians developed their chicken tracks to their Lord Baal of merchandise. There are Elohim and many lords, many, but there is only one Yahweh, Bet Ikad, Elohim. See 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. The idol is nothing in the world, but there is none other Yahweh but one. For though there be that are called Elohim, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be Elohim many, and lords many, but to us there is but one Elohim, one, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Master. I'll change that word Lord there to Master. It was probably the proper rendition. Certainly wouldn't be Lord, which is connected with Baal directly. And one Master, Yahushua Messiah, by whom all things, and we by him. Okay, that was 1 Corinthians 8. And yes, there is also a problem with several other words, but I'm not going to get that picky with the word husband or master. And it was even in the Hosea chapter 2 that we read there. He said, you'll call me husband from now on, and not Baal. So we'll continue with this article now. On page 7, my people shall know my name and has not denied my name and are sealed with my name, writes Marisha Truman, the late Marisha. Paleo means ancient, before vowel letters, but the most ancient Paleo alphabet was the Hebrew picture letters as depicted in the World Book Encyclopedia. The 10 northern tribes of Israel joined with the Phoenicians when Jeroboam became their king, having split off from the altars of Jerusalem. And reread what we did there, Jeremiah 12, 16, and also chapter 23. We didn't read that one, but let's see, I can pick that up for you. Jeremiah chapter 12, I'll just portion of this here, 12, 16, Jeremiah. And it came to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, Yahweh liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith Yahweh. So by that, Jeremiah 12:16, it sounds like the judgment is coming to the house of Yahweh, even in our nations. And then chapter 23 says this in verse 27, and we quoted part of that from above or earlier, Jeremiah 23:27, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. And then one more here for you from 1 Kings 13:33. 1 Kings, that's correct, 13, 33 and 4. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people, priests of the high places. That seems to happen a lot. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and destroy it from off the face of the earth. Okay, now back to the about the writing of Paleo, the history thereof. Paleo means ancient, before vowel letters. Alphabets were designed to rule the people, either religiously, commercially, or politically. Yahweh's Paleo picture alphabet was designed to keep his people in remembrance of him as they read or wrote. his picture alphabet to keep us in remembrance of him as we read or write. Each letter had meaning to his word. The Phoenician chicken tracks were of commercial meaning to their god Baal. So there you are. And in past programs back in 2009, I was talking about the Hebrew alphabet, and I used a different pronunciation. It was wrong. I said paleo, but it should be paleo, as Eric Bissell and others have pointed out and brought to my attention. Then the next category is his name a secret? Judges 13:18. Some have taken this to say that his name is a secret, and therefore no one can know what his name is. But we are commanded always to have at least two or three witnesses that regards judging somebody. That doesn't judge the scriptures. We don't have to have two or three witnesses from scripture, although it will help. The more we have, the better it will be to understand a doctrine. So, but this was a matter against someone to have two or three witnesses. That's what that means. So we don't use that to judge Yahweh's word and say, well, this part is false and another, you know, if you follow the trail there. But the number for secret in Judges, for secret, is 6383, which has been rendered wonderful in every other case. So Isaiah 9:6, wonderful counselor, prince of peace, the mighty, so wonderful Yah. Isaiah 9:6, Psalm 139, and verse 14. It should have been translated as wonderful in Judges 13:18 as well. The Hebrew number for secret, again, 5641. And 5475 in Deuteronomy 29:29, which says, the secret things belong unto Yahweh, our Elohim. Those things which are revealed belong only unto us, or belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. And this law included the name of Yahweh, of writing and reading and speaking his name, Deuteronomy 5:11, and also 12 and 15, Deuteronomy 5:11 through 15. So there's a term called double think that our author here titled this next section, double think. And it says the separated name, or she used a sacred name, so I'll correct that, that the separated name was written in the Hebrew, all consonant letters, yod, he, vav, he. However, the Hellenized scholars have substituted four Greek vowel letters, I-E-U-E. And then, because of the resulting confusion of tongues, they have come up with many different combinations for his one name, whereby all must be saved, but some say it is Y-H-W-H or J-H-V-H, Jehovah, even though there was no consonant letter W, until Rome doubled the Greek U, and the letter J wasn't developed even until 500 years ago in the 16th century. In Hebrew, the W follows the vowel of U or O and is silent as U, and it could not be one of the consonant letter sounds in the Hebrew tetragrammaton. We've covered that part earlier. The Hellenized scholars all know this, but the key phrase is double think, or black-white. There are no vowel letters until the Greeks developed their alphabet in which they changed the Hebrew consonants of Yahweh's name into vowels of I-E-U. Check that out in the Encyclopedia and Concordance. Modern Hebrew developed about 1850. It is a combination of the old scriptural Hebrew with its poetical style and great beauty, and the philosophical Hebrew of the Middle Ages with its greater ease of expression. Modern Hebrew allows writers to borrow words and to invent words to keep up with modern ideas in science. The man chiefly responsible for this revival of Hebrew as a spoken language is Eliezer ben Yehuda. His great work was the Hebrew Thesaurus, of which he finished 10 volumes. And that is a summary of the pamphlet from Marisha Truman on the origin of Paleo-Hebrew. And now we're going to a scripture translation of Romans chapter 8 by Hezekiah Haas. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation, ending in spiritual death, to those who are in the Messiah, Yehoshua, who do not walk after the flesh, but according to the Ruach. For the law of the Ruach, spirit of life in the Messiah, Yehoshua, has made me free from the law of sin and death. And what the sacrificial law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh of animals, Yahweh did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of our violations of Torah, and he condemned and put to death the sinful nature of the flesh, so that the righteous requirement of the shedding of blood pictured in the sacrificial law for the remission of sin and the righteousness and the righteous requirements of Torah might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the fleshly nature, but according to the spirit or ruach. For those who live according to the desires of the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the ruach set their minds on the things of the flesh. They set their minds on the things of the who live according to the ruach set their minds on the things of the ruach. For to be sinful minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the fleshly mind is bitterly opposed to Yahweh, for it is not submissive to the Torah of Yahweh, nor indeed can be. And then at the end of that chapter, in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Ruach of Yahweh, these are the sons of Yahweh. For you did not receive the Ruach of enslavement, again to fear, but you received the Ruach of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Ruach bearing witness with our Ruach that we are the sons of Yahweh. And if sons, then heirs, heirs of Yahweh, and joint heirs with his anointed one. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be also be exalted together with him. A paraphrase of Romans 8 from Hezekiah. And that's it here on the website yahvehyahweh.name. We would like to give our email address and encourage you to please write and let us know exactly what your needs are as far as the teachings or the type of program presented as far as the type of MP3 or wave or whatever it might be, or a player of some sort that you might require to listen. Whether you prefer a download or more of a real-time, live streaming kind of a platform. So thanks again. This is Stephan Yah. And may Yahweh be with you. And we'll pray for one another until he comes. Maranatha. Maranatha. Come quickly. Yahusha.